Gospel reading for today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
In the first text from Romans, it talks about that gift of God. Again, the gift of God, and then it goes on to talk about that gift being that one man, Jesus, for us. And in Revelation, we know that Jesus is that light that is the light for all the world. And even when we are in heaven, we know he's the light that is there because there's no other light needed, it says in the scriptures. And then, of course, the gospel talks about that birth of Jesus. She is found to be with child. Can you imagine us using that kind of language today? Well, such and such was found to be with child. You know, now, it actually has happened in a few instances where somebody ended up being pregnant and didn't realize they were pregnant for quite a long time. Thought they were having stomach pains or other issues going on, and then found out they were pregnant, and quite a surprise to them. And here we even have the earliest pregnancy test on record. She will give birth to a son. Angels are able to give pregnancy tests better than anyone, just so you know. The virgin will be with child, give birth to a son, you'll name him Jesus. And what a blessing it is to be able to come together to celebrate that Jesus again. It's been said that Christmas is for children. And sometimes we treat it as such with the idea of the gifts that we give and the way that we are. And matter of fact, as we get a little bit older, there's a little bit less that we do for Christmas as a tendency. We downsize the number of decorations. We eventually downsize the trees. I have downsized the lights that go on the house because I don't want to get on the second story anymore and stand there on the edge and put lights up there. Just don't feel real secure. Although I know there are exceptions, some of you haven't downsized a bit, have you? Yeah, I see a few heads. We have a gift and a downsizing, as a matter of fact, outside our manger scene that was given to us by Sue and Ron Klein. So they were downsizing, so we're upscaling. We can do that as a corporate entity, right? But Christmas is for children. But that means it's for all of us because we are all God's children. God says that we are all his, young and old. No one's left out in the cold. We're all part of the family of God, and he looks at us as children. And each year as we put up decorations and lights and there are presents, there's a joy and there's an anticipation. And even if it's not as big and bold and colorful as it used to be for us, there's still that expectation that we have in waiting for it and in recognizing when it comes that Christmas is here and Christmas is a gift from God. This celebration of Jesus' birth for us. And the celebration that it will be for us all when the time comes that he comes again. In the context of the disciples getting into the question of who is the greatest among them, Jesus responds in Matthew, he says, unless you turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you, You change from what you think is the way you should be going and what you should be doing and who you think you are, and recognize that you're just children before God. You'll never enter the kingdom. Because as adults, we get to that point where we start thinking a lot differently about how we enter heaven. As bold and as basic a statement as it's been, I've received it twice over the years in children's messages when I've asked the question, what do we have to do to get to heaven? And the response was, die. Two times I've had that happen. So I'm going to start wording that question a different way now, I think, to try and get a different answer. But so we talk about that, but the fact is, we as children, it's really simple, the faith. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And because Jesus loves me, and I trust that Jesus loves me, one day I'll be in heaven. And that's a simple faith. That's like that mustard seed faith. We try and complicate it when we get older and start thinking different ways. But really, it's as simple as saying, I'm a child of God and He died for the forgiveness of all my sins. If you have faith in that, you have the faith that's necessary. We have all kinds of other things as adults. We grow and we mature in our faith, and we are able to better understand that faith. And all that is wonderful and good, but don't think that even the understanding is what gets you to heaven. Because then it would be a challenge for us to question, well, how much understanding do we have to have? It's faith. It's trust. And Christmas is not just for children, it's about children. It's about a child. A child came for us, and we focus on that child. And so Christmas is about children still. And in baptism, we become God's children. And in life, we confess that we are those children of God before Him. And He comes to us, and He wants to give us joy. Just like a parent, as I mentioned and talked with Sky, just like a parent wants to see the joy on their children's faces and grandchildren's faces come Christmas. That's God's joy in us. God takes joy in you, and He wants to bring you joy. Even amidst the struggles that you'll face in this life, God is there watching you and desiring to show you that His love is never going to fade away. God is there for us. God has always been there for us. To listen to us as a parent desires to listen to their children. Children don't like to talk to their parents too often, but a parent just thrives when their children do talk to them. Well, unless there's like a football game on or no. No, it's a joy. We love to have our children talk to us. And maybe that's one of the bigger joys for a grandparent, because grandchildren will talk to you still. They don't know that they're not supposed to talk to adults yet because you'll be judged, right, on what you say. But we need to take away that fear from our kids the way God takes it away from us. Bring it all to Him. God says, you're my children. I want to hear from you. Not that He doesn't already know what's going on in your life, obviously. But He wants us to have that relationship with Him. In Philippians 2, we're told to do all things without grumbling and to be blameless before others as children of God. God tells us we're to be as children. And even in the midst of this generation that where things are problematic and struggling, we're called to be those lights to the world as His children. Just like all the sands... grains of sand or the stars in the sky for Abraham's children, the understanding, yes, we are still children of the Heavenly Father. And Christmas is by a child and for children. Though we get older, sometimes we think it's just not as fun. But God wants to draw us back in. With that word Abba, Father, Daddy, as some will say, that closeness that God wants us to have with Him, that desire to be our God. Can you imagine if the story of Christmas were to take place in this time versus the way we continue to retell the story over and over and tell it to children. Can you imagine telling your child, a modern day, this is how the story went. You see, Joseph and Mary were coming along on their mule, and they're working their way to Jerusalem, and Joseph, doot, 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 doot. Hello? Yeah, I need a room. What? All right, thanks. Doot, doot, doot. Yeah, you got any rooms? Going through the phone over and over, trying. I've actually been there, done that. Drove from Amarillo all the way to Sweetwater, Texas, 3.5 hours, 250 some miles to find a hotel because of a rodeo that was going on in Amarillo, and all of the panhandle was booked. Every hotel, no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. There was no room at the inn until you got to Sweetwater. And we only needed it for about 4 hours at that point because we were getting back on the road. But, you know, the wise men, you know, instead of making that big trek, well, we'll just FedEx a few gifts. Let me get on Amazon here and see what we can send. Because they probably wouldn't have gotten to catch a flight coming from where they were coming, because there probably would have been a travel ban in effect. Just a thought. And certainly with some of the materials they were carrying, I don't know if we're going to let these guys on the flight. And the shepherds, there's no need for the shepherds to go see. We'll just blast out a text to them all and let them know what's happening. Oh, look, rejoice, he's born. Woo! Look, there's a picture. Oh, look, it's a GIF. It's a moving picture, or GIF, if you prefer. It's nice that the story is an old, old story that we can retell and retell and retell, and it doesn't lose any of the flavor from the first experiences of those long ago. It was in 353, I believe, was the year when Christmas was declared to be by the Pope as December 25th, and we've gone by that ever since. And we continue to hold on to some of those old, old traditions. We're not moving it from December 25th. Even though it's very unlikely that was the actual date, hey, there's a 1 in 365 chance that it was, right? We're close. It's better than the lottery, let me tell you. But it's an opportunity for us to rejoice again. It's an opportunity for us to celebrate again. It's an opportunity for us to come together and to receive the blessings that God has given us again. The gift of His forgiveness, the gift of His love, the gift of reminding you of the value of this day. You can probably remember in your life, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, some of those most beloved gifts of that. Maybe a gift from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, even 50 years ago or more. That special gift you got. And here we've got the greatest gift of all that we're remembering 2,000 years later still. Now that's a gift that keeps on giving. And a gift that has value. And a gift that continues to be something that we can pass along to other children of God that they need to know about. And some of them don't even know that they're God's children yet, so we need to adopt them into the family and bring them in and say, you're part of this. You're part of this because the Lord died for you just as much as He died for me. And as we remember that gift that God gave to us of a child at that first Christmas, hopefully, prayerfully, desiringly, may our hearts continue to receive that gift just as a child would. I saw YouTube, you never know what you're going to find, right? Saw the cutest thing, and I use the word cute very seldom in my life, correct? I don't like that word usually. This was cute. A little boy, I think he was three, maybe 3.5, opening a package, opens the box, tears off the wrapper, rips it open, and inside is what? A banana. Somebody else saw that. And he, I got a banana! A banana! Look, banana! Banana! I mean, he was excited. I got a banana! He was ready to break out into the banana dance, whatever that would look like. I mean, this was the best gift ever. You know, kind of like empty boxes are to younger kids. You know, the best gift ever was the box, right? Well, for us, the best gift ever, think about it, was better than all of these. And even better than that gift from 20, 30, 50 years ago. The best gift ever was given to you. Jesus, a child. Receive that gift in your heart as a child with such excitement, with such adoration, with such love. I asked last Wednesday that you pray, how can I adore you, God? How can I adore you? Well, let me tell you, that's how. Receive Him with such joy. Receive Him with such love, with excitement, and wanting to tell everybody, look what I got, I got a Savior. You got a Savior. And what an awesome gift the Savior is. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, gift of God. Amen.